The following audio is from The Well. We are a church that is committed to gospel growth, family formation, and missional engagement in Hastings, Nebraska. More information about The Well can be found at www.thewellhastings.com. We hope the message you are about to hear will spur you on to growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be formed as a follower of Jesus, and to be engaged in the mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost within a yard of hell.
Good morning, everyone. As we make our way back to our seats, my name is Richard. I'm a leader in training here.
Hi, Richard.
Thank you, Michael. I have the privilege of leading us in the sermon today and presenting what God has to teach us in this. If you want to, in the Black Bibles, we're going to be in a couple different passages, but the main text is going to be on page 771. So you can turn to page 771, and we'll be reading in Matthew verses 5 through 15. Sorry, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Another key text that we're going to be in is in First Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 17. So if you would stand as we read, we'll read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, followed by 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then followed by 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, simply says, pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come here this morning, to be able to be used by you to deliver this message on prayer to the community here at The Well. Father, I ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to listen to your truths on how to pray and the humility in prayer. Father, be with me as I deliver your word and message to those here at The Well. In your most heavenly gracious name, amen. You may be seated. So today, we're going to talk about something that every believer knows about, many believers struggle with. I'm included. I want you guys to understand that I am bad and horrible at these practices. So this is as much for me as it is for anyone. So most Christians believe prayer is important, right? We talk about prayer. We ask others to pray. We promise to pray. But don't get me wrong here. How many times have we said, responded to a text or responded to a Facebook comment praying for you when people have asked for prayers, but we never do? I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. But if we're honest, prayers can sometimes become the first thing we neglect when life gets busy. Or we throw out the small, Hail Mary, thinking he's going to give us exactly what we're wanting. Not what we're needing, but what we want. That's a problem, right? At times, I find it even hard to pray to somebody that physically is not here. I set this chair up here because a while back in my daily devotions, the challenge was invite God into your day. When you hop in your truck to go down the road to work, to the farm, wherever, go get groceries, invite him to sit next to you. I'm like, that's interesting. But when I did it, I felt a little bit like a fool. At the same time, I actually had a personal conversation as I was going down the road. But that's an imagery that I want you guys to think about. I invite God here up front to sit with me while I deliver this message. I want you guys to do the same thing. Invite him to sit next to you. Talk to him throughout this. Might be something I say or, that brings something up. Talk to him. All right? But throughout our days, we should have this communication, this lifeline. Often I begin, in prayer and very good intentions, and then suddenly find myself repeating myself over and over again. Don't know why. I find my mind wondering, is he really, really listening to me? He surely doesn't have the time for me. Yet prayer is not meant to be a last resort. Prayer is meant to be our first response. The Apostle Paul gives a very simple instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Or some translations, like in the ESV here, pray without ceasing. This does not mean we walk around with our eyes closed all day long, our head down. It means that our lives are meant to be lived in constant communication with God. Prayer is not just something we do. Here's the key. Prayer is a relationship we live in. Now today we're going to look at three truths about prayer. We're going to look at how to pray, the importance of prayer, and then the power of prayer. So first, we're going to look at how to pray. So that's where it takes us into Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 18. So many people want to pray but are unsure how. The good news is that Jesus actually taught the disciples how to pray. And when they asked him, he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Before we get into that pattern of the Lord's Prayer, which is just a simple pattern that we'll walk through, I want to point out a key that unlocks the power of this example of prayer. It hides in verses 5 through 8. Do not be like the hypocrites. Do not keep babbling like the pagans. Oh, look at me. Look at me and how well I pray. I'm guilty of this. I remember in college listening to some of the prayers, or at church, down the road listening at some of the prayers. Man, oh wow, those words are just so smooth and they really have their stuff together. But that's not what it's about. Jesus says, instead, go into private, that we are to get our minds and our bodies into a posture of humility. We are to get out of our own minds and bodies. So many people think like prayer, that it's like a spiritual vending machine. You put in a prayer and then you get what you want out. Get that nice new truck. You get that nice paying job. You get nice trophy on your shelf. But God desires something deeper than requests. He desires a relationship. Just like any relationship, communication builds closeness. If you are married or have a significant other, at times you feel like you are distant or apart. And what's going on there is, I guarantee, you are not communicating. You are not in communication with your spouse or your significant other. In order to get back to that closeness, we have to sit down and spend time. Date night or purposeful Bible study with friends. Just like any relationship, God wants us to be daily inviting Him in and in communication with Him. The more we pray, the more we know God. It changes the whole focus from what I can gain out of this to what God can be glorified with. Or better yet, it becomes all about your church community, your work community, family, friends, rather than about yourself. Your prayers will focus on them, and that's where God wants our hearts. When we pray to Him continually, He wants our posture to be thinking about others, about Him. Now, let's walk through the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. And there's several key points here. The first one starts with worship. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Prayer begins by recognizing who God is. Before asking for anything, we acknowledge God's greatness. Worship shifts our focus. Instead of focusing on our problems, we begin focusing on God's power. The second point is submit to God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So prayer is not about convincing God to do our will. It's not a transactional thing that we often get in the mode and mindset of. Prayer is about aligning our hearts with His will. Sometimes the greatest prayers we pray are simply, "Lord, your will be done." The third is, which brings your needs to God. So give us this day our daily bread. So God cares about our needs, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs. Nothing is too small to bring before Him. But be careful. I'm not talking about wants. About what we need. The fourth, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is a confession and seeking of forgiveness. Prayer is also where we deal with sin. Confession restores fellowship with God. When we come honestly before God, He offers grace. The next is ask for spiritual protection. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer strengthens us against temptation. When you're battling temptation and you're in prayer confessing that, often we find scripture that comes to mind. That's part of that communication and being in communication with Him to help battle against that temptation. When we pray for strength, God equips us to stand. So the second point, the importance of prayer. The key verse here is in Luke, or verses, Luke 18. I'm going to turn to Luke 18. And this is in page 835 of the Black Bibles here. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Jesus told a parable to show his disciples that we should always pray and not give up. Prayer matters because it connects us directly to God. Now think about this. The God who created the universe, the God who spoke the stars into existence, the God who holds all things together, invites us. He invites us to sit down with him and speak with him. Shouldn't we be inviting him in as well? Having those intimate conversations, talking to him. The key about the Lord's Prayer is that we're not supposed to do that just in a ritualistic, religious way. It's designed to be, where the focus is at. Like we walk through, worship, asking for our needs, confessing our sins, conversation to have that deeper relationship with him. Prayer is ultimately the access to the presence of God. Now, the Bible repeatedly commands believers to pray. In Philippians 4:6, we read, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I remember a song back at camp that some leaders made, and every time I read this verse, that song goes through my head. At the same time, I forget about that in my daily life. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm not here preaching to you guys. I'm here to preach to myself, get better myself. But notice what Paul says. Not in some things, not in only big things. But what does he say? All things, in everything. Present your request to God. Prayer is how we bring every part of our lives before God. We bring our fears, our decisions, our struggles, our families, our work, and our future. Without prayer, we begin living life in our own strength. And when we rely on our own strength, we quickly run into our limits. But prayer reconnects us to the source of strength. Now, Jesus himself demonstrated the importance of prayer. Even though he was the Son of God, he constantly withdrew to pray. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, excuse me here. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If Jesus needed regular time in prayer, how much more do we need it? Prayer keeps our hearts aligned with God, keeps our minds focused on eternal things rather than ourselves, and prayer keeps our faith strong. Without prayer, our spiritual lives slowly weaken, but with prayer, our relationship to God grows deeper. Now, the third point that we're going to talk about is the power of prayer. And here in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is not powerless words just spoken up into the air. Prayer releases the power of God into situations. Throughout Scripture, we see this power of prayer. Elijah prayed, rain stopped. Elijah prayed again, the rain returned. The early church prayed, and prison doors were opened. Daniel prayed, and God shut the mouths of the lions. So prayer can change things drastically and keep us safe or prove His power. But sometimes the greatest thing that prayer changes, it's us. Prayer changes our perspective, strengthens our faith, and fills our heart with peace. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we pray, God's peace replaces our anxiety. Even before the situation changes, God's at work changing us to have a better perspective. Prayer also invites God to work in ways we cannot see. There are battles happening in the spiritual realm that we don't fully understand what's going on. We don't see Satan, sin, and death attacking. We feel it, but we need to invite God to work in those situations. But prayer is one of the ways that God works through His people. He enables people in the community to be connected through prayer, and prayer moves the heart of God. So I want to share a story with you guys that I experienced, I think it was a year or so ago. And a real good friend of mine, anytime that we would meet, and he had a lot of illnesses, and anytime that we would meet, we always prayed. Prayer was so much a part of this guy that you did not walk away without, hey, we need to pray. And it was great. When he was on his deathbed and unconscious, he hung on for several days. And I remember this one day. I reluctantly wouldn't go. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to deal with it. But this one day, God said, you need to go today. Today is the day you need to go see him. So I made a call, met his son up at the hospital, and we stood beside the bed as he's unconscious. And suddenly, while we're standing there, he murmured, you know, grunted, couldn't understand what he was trying to say, but we bent down. Is there something that you need? Tried again, still we couldn't understand it. Third time, clear as day, plain as day, he said, pray. Immediately we dropped to our knees and we began praying. Our tears in our eyes, we prayed over him. And that night he passed away. I don't know if he was hanging on just to teach me one last lesson, but I can tell you this, I woke up that day to the power of prayer. Even when his body was failing and he was unconscious, his spirit knew what mattered most. Prayer. That's what prayer does in community. It doesn't just connect us when life is good. It carries us when words fail, when strength is gone, and when eternity is near. Prayer unites hearts, it binds families, and builds up the church. Now, in conclusion, prayer is one of the greatest gifts God has given his community of people. It connects us to God, it shapes our hearts, it releases God's power. But prayer must move beyond something we just talk about. It must become something we practice. We need to live in the practice of prayer daily within our lives and within our community. Not just on Sundays, not just when we are desperate, but every day, every decision, every situation. Prayer is a relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Let me close with the words of chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God invites us to call on him, and when we do, he listens. So let's be people who pray and invite God the Father into every situation throughout the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your words and your truth in this scripture. I just ask that you be with us today and you be able to spark a fire into our lives that we can be better and we can invite you into our lives in all that we do, in every situation that we are in, so that we may be closer to you and live in a community of believers that humbly sets their own selfish desires aside and looks out for each other. In your most heavenly gracious name, amen.